Can we wait a minute? Scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His Word. It is apparent in reading this letter that Peter knows his time of death is near. Verse 14, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. He knows the end is near. So he's writing and giving his knowledge, his wealth of experience to so many people. We discern that the plan of God is redemptive history, is entering a new dimension with the removal of the apostles from this earth. The church is yet present, but now progressively dependent upon the written word rather than the audible voices of the apostles. It's in these premises. It's in these promises that we fellowship with God and we overcome the corruption of the world. A couple of points I'd like to make about this scripture. One, we are bondservants. You know what a bondservant is? It's somebody born into slavery. Peter says we are bondservants from, and he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we are bondservants of Jesus and to each other. As such, Peter writes to us a message from God, which we are to heed very carefully. Peter comes also as a servant or a bondservant of Jesus, and he knows his time is near. James has already been put to death. There's others already put to death. And he's next. So he wants people to understand who Jesus is, why he came, and why he had to be crucified. He knew Paul. He knew and trained under Jesus. So who better to tell it than Peter? Peter has been born anew by the Spirit of God to faith in Christ, and so he serves Christ. And we do too. We serve a risen Savior. And we disregard our own self-interest. Here we remember Jesus' call to Peter. As they stand on the seashore looking at the fish that he had just caught. You know, Peter loved fishing. That's what he lived and died for right then, was fishing. Then what happened? Jesus comes along. His career, his passion, it changes over to Christ. Jesus asked Peter in John 21:15, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He asked him again. And then he asked him a third time. We too are born anew by the Spirit unto faith in Jesus Christ, and we're born into the slavery, if you will, to Christ, which abandons any thoughts about our self-interest. The second point I'd like to make about this scripture is we receive faith by righteousness. The righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ is the basis of our faith, isn't it? We actually receive faith as a gift by the righteousness of Jesus, our Savior. This faith is consistent. An absolute equality, because it comes from our Savior Himself. Faith is itself accomplished by Christ for us. The life Christ lived on this earth as a man, He lived by faith. More than any other person who's ever walked this earth. He believed the promises of God. He believed the Father would fulfill the promises that He made to His Son in Hebrews 12:2. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, that was Jesus. He endured everything on the cross. The night before His crucifixion, Jesus cried out in prayer to His Father, Luke 22:42. "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." These are expressions of faith. Hebrews 11:1, "The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's faith in a nutshell. Faith is accounted to us by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his faith accomplished in his very perfect life of obedience and in his perfect sacrifice on the cross. It is this faith alone that saves us from our sinful self. And it secures for us the blessings of God and his intimate presence with us. What a glorious presence that is. And thirdly, we receive grace and peace by the knowledge of Jesus our Lord, according to verse 2. Peter gives us a blessing. His blessing is that grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace are to be understood in relationship to God. May we continue to experience God's favor and have peace with God. Interestingly enough, grace and peace are abundantly ours through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This knowledge is not a mere intellectual knowledge, but it is an intimate fellowship, an experience of what and who God is, which comes from a personal interaction with God. You know, people that are not saved, people that don't accept Jesus, they don't have this personal walk with God. While the blessing here is typical of most letters of that day, the Old Testament background for us is very important. In number 6, we have read, and I'm sure you have several times, the blessings to Aaron and his people. In Numbers chapter 6, the blessings given to the people of God after service in the tabernacle. They receive a blessing and grace and peace with God Almighty. In this blessing, we can find grace. In this blessing, we can find peace bestowed upon us by the experience of an all-knowing God, seeing the light of his face and receiving his name. Peter did know his time was near, and he was okay with that. He was okay. Have you given your heart to God, to the Lordship of Christ, the one who has lived a very perfect life, full of faith, full of joy? Cling to Jesus today, for he is our only hope of reconciliation with God. As Peter says to all who will listen and read his word, to those who have received faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So may we accept this from Peter. Grace and peace. And may it be multiplied to you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we come to you this morning, we come to you with thankful hearts. We come to you, Lord, with hearts thankful for Peter, James, John, all the other disciples who turned into apostles, those who learned as disciples, but those who went out into the countryside, into different regions, started new churches, started telling others about this Savior named Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross for you and for me, and for all who will accept His grace and His peace. In Christ's name we pray, amen. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and would like to do so, please come forward. Give your life to Christ. If you have something on your heart and you would like to pray about it, that's what this altar's for, is for prayer. May we stand as we sing.